Michel de Montaigne was a 16th century French philosopher who believed that a simpler life begins when we stop trying to impress others, let go of the roles we perform, give up desires that aren't truly ours, and worry less about other people's opinions. Montaigne was a wealthy nobleman and a judge in the Bordeaux Parliament. He spent years around the royal court, watching politicians and aristocrats constantly lying, scheming, and putting on a public image just to hold on to their position. The more influential they became, the more complicated, stressful, and fragile their lives seemed. Montaigne decided he wanted no part of it. So he left public life, retired to a stone tower on his family's country estate, filled it with books, and devoted himself to living more simply. Even though he was later dragged back into the political chaos to serve two demanding terms as the mayor of Bordeaux, his true focus remained on understanding himself rather than chasing status. He drew heavily from ancient philosophies like Epicureanism, Pyrenean skepticism, and Stoicism to build a new, simpler way of living. He recorded this journey in a collection of writings called The Essays, where he explored his thoughts, doubts, habits, and everyday experiences with unusual honesty. Today, we may not be caught up in the politics of a royal court, yet many of us still make life more complicated than it needs to be. We overthink our careers, our relationships, and our public image. We expend energy trying to meet other people's expectations and chase goals that don't always reflect what we actually want. So in this video, we're going to explore how to simplify your life from the philosophy of Montaigne. Number 1. Reject artificial desires. In Renaissance France, Montaigne was surrounded by aristocrats who were obsessed with power. They bankrupted themselves to buy elaborate clothing, chased royal titles for years, and constantly tried to impress the people around them. Montaigne looked at all of this and realized it was a tragic waste of a life. Drawing inspiration from the ancient Greek philosophy of Epicureanism, Montaigne came to believe that human desires fall into two categories: natural desires and artificial ones. Natural desires are the basic things we need to live well, such as food, shelter, warmth, and close human relationships. These needs are limited. When you're thirsty, drinking water satisfies that thirst. When you're hungry, you eat a meal, and the desire goes away. Nature tells you when you've had enough. But artificial desires, things like fame, luxury, extreme wealth, and social status, are entirely manufactured by society. And because they're invented, they have no natural limit. There's no biological signal that tells you when you're famous enough or rich enough. As soon as you hit a financial milestone, the goalpost moves. As soon as you get the promotion, you start eyeing the next rung on the ladder. You're essentially signing up for a race that has no finish line, which guarantees a life of permanent dissatisfaction and endless complexity. And because of that, we take on massive debt for, say, a luxury car, or work 80-hour weeks for a job title, not because it actually brings us joy, but because society has conditioned us to believe that this is what success looks like. Simplifying your life starts with running a brutal audit on the things you're chasing. Look at your daily to-do list, your goals, and your spending habits, and ask yourself, do I want this, or did society just condition me to want this? When you let go of artificial desires, life becomes simpler. Instead of chasing endless wants, you can focus on the few things that truly matter and are enough to live a good life. Number 2. Stop worrying about public opinion. In the 16th century, men would fight to the death in street duels over a minor insult at a dinner party just to protect their reputation. Politicians and aristocrats spent every waking hour carefully managing how the public perceived them, terrified of looking weak or foolish. Montaigne dedicated an entire essay to this topic, titled Of Glory, and he pointed out that the public is generally irrational, easily distracted, and completely unreliable. So why on earth would you tie your peace to the opinions of a crowd? If your worth depends on other people's approval, you're handing your peace of mind over to a group that constantly changes its mind. We agonize over whether our boss praised us in a meeting. We stress over how our peers view our career progress. And we carefully curate our lives online to get validation from strangers. It forces us into a state of constant performance. And performing all day is exhausting. Montaigne argued that to simplify your life, you have to build what modern psychologists call an internal scorecard. Montaigne famously wrote that he didn't care what he was in the eyes of others. He only cared what he was in his own eyes. So you have to become your own judge. When you do something, ask yourself if you're proud of it based on your own standards and your own morals. When you stop needing the crowd to validate your existence, you stop overthinking how every word you say will be perceived. You stop buying things just to signal your status to your neighbours. When you stop measuring your life by other people's opinions, life automatically becomes much simpler. Number 3. Shrink your inner circle. Because of his family status and his later career as the mayor of Bordeaux, Montaigne knew all of the local politicians, the aristocrats, and all the wealthy merchants. But he recognized that these were purely transactional relationships, built on mutual advantage, political leverage, and polite faking, rather than genuine friendship. Keeping up those connections required constant effort, and he came to see them as another source of unnecessary complexity in his life. He experienced true friendship exactly once in his life with a fellow writer and civil servant named Étienne de la Boétie. When they met, they dropped their public masks and connected on a deep, unfiltered level. They shared their deep fears, their unpolished thoughts, and their true selves without any hidden motives. Tragically, la Boétie died young, and the loss devastated Montaigne. Years later, when people asked Montaigne to explain why their connection was so unshakably strong, he didn't give a logical list of reasons. He simply wrote, "Because it was he, because it was I." Montaigne realized that a single soul-level friendship provides more peace of mind than 1,000 superficial acquaintances. True social simplicity means choosing quality over quantity. You have to stop treating your personal life like a networking event. Stop feeling obligated to stay in touch with people who drain your energy. And stop feeling guilty for not being accessible to everyone 24/7. To declutter your social life, you need to shrink your inner circle. Take all the fragmented energy you currently waste on pleasing hundreds of acquaintances and pour it entirely into the 2 or 3 people who actually understand you. Number 4. Be authentic. In the late 1500s, France was being torn apart by religious civil wars. Saying the wrong thing, laughing at the wrong joke, or showing sympathy to the wrong person could get you exiled, stripped of your wealth, or even killed. Because of this, the nobles spent their entire lives acting. They memorized strict rules of etiquette, they forced fake smiles for political rivals they secretly hated, and carefully hid their true opinions behind polite, empty words. They were trapped in a state of constant performance. When Montaigne retired to his stone tower to begin writing his essays, he explicitly warned his readers right in the preface. "I'm not putting on a show for you," he wrote. "I am myself the matter of my book." He openly wrote about his bad eating habits, his terrible memory, his kidney stones and his mood swings, even admitting when he was lazy or petty. He did this because lying is exhausting. If you fake who you are, you need a perfect memory to keep track of your lies and remember exactly what you told to different people. Today, we have our professional mask, our carefully curated social media persona, and the sanitized version of ourselves we show to our acquaintances, not to mention the version that we show to certain family members. We all spend hours agonizing over how to word an email so we sound perfectly competent, or suppressing our actual sense of humor because it doesn't fit with the vibe of the room. So the real question is, how do you drop the mask and simplify your life? Well, first, you've got to stop over-sanitizing your communication. Stop rewriting that email 5 times to make sure you sound artificially enthusiastic. Just say what you need to say, clearly and politely, and hit send. Second, start owning your interests. If you have a hobby or you spent the weekend doing absolutely nothing, and someone asks you about it on Monday morning, tell the truth. Stop inventing a more impressive version of your weekend just to sound productive to your co-workers. Finally, you have to accept the trade-off. When you decide to be unapologetically yourself, some people might not like your actual personality. And that's exactly the point. When you drop the mask, you create a natural filter. You lose the people who only liked the fake version of you, which frees up your time and energy. What you're left with is a life that's incredibly simple, because you never have to stress about slipping out of character. You're just living your life. Number 5. Establish your arrière-boutique. You can simplify your mindset, drop your social masks, and shrink your inner circle, but you're still going to face one massive problem. The outside world won't stop knocking on your door. Your boss, your family, and your friends are always going to ask for your time, your favours, and your labour. When Montagne walked away from his high-stress political career, he realised that staying at his family's massive country estate wasn't going to give him peace. The estate was a demanding operation, with farm workers, servants, guests, and family members constantly running around and needing decisions made. If he stayed in the main house, he'd be constantly disturbed. So he walked out to a stone tower on the edge of his property. He climbed up to the third floor and claimed the circular room as his own. And he set one non-negotiable rule: no family, no servants, and no business allowed. He called this concept arrière-boutique, which translates to the room behind the shop or the back room. He explained it using a very practical analogy. Think about a local shopkeeper. All day long they stand at the front counter. They deal with the demanding customers, manage the inventory, and handle the money. If that shopkeeper never leaves the front counter, they'll eventually start to believe that they are the shop. They'll completely forget who they were before the doors opened. To survive, they need a private room in the back where they can close the door, drop the customer service smile, and just be a human being again. Today, we've entirely lost our back room. We're accessible to our bosses at 9 p.m. on a Friday evening. We're accessible to every acquaintance who wants to text us. We feel a deep, lingering guilt if we aren't being constantly productive or useful to the people around us. As soon as we get a hobby, everyone convinces us to monetize it. Our lives are complicated because we belong to everyone else. To achieve simplicity, you have to build your own arrière-boutique. You don't need to inherit a French estate with a stone tower to do this. Your back room might just be a blocked-out hour early in the morning before anyone else wakes up. It might be a physical room in your house where the door's closed and the phone's left outside. It's a strict boundary that belongs to absolutely no one but you. When you step into that space, you drop the role of employee, parent, partner, or friend, and give yourself permission to be completely and unapologetically useless to the rest of the world. Number 6. Stop having an opinion on everything. Montaigne lived through the French Wars of Religion. It was a chaotic time where Catholics and Protestants were killing each other in the streets because both sides were absolutely convinced that they had the ultimate truth. At the same time, university scholars were acting like they had the entire universe figured out. Everyone was 100% certain that they were right and that they were willing to tear the country apart to prove it. Montaigne knew human logic is flawed. Our memories are terrible and our emotions constantly blind us. With our minds and senses failing us all the time, how could anyone claim to be totally certain about anything? To keep his ego in check, Montaigne had a custom coin made. On it was an engraving of a balanced scale, along with his personal motto, "Que sais-je?" which means, "What do I know?" Whenever he felt himself getting dragged into a heated argument or felt the urge to aggressively defend his pride, he'd remember that phrase. He leaned heavily on an ancient Greek school of thought called Pyrrhonism. The basic idea is that since absolute certainty is impossible, we don't have to form a strong opinion about absolutely everything. Sometimes choosing not to judge or argue is the simplest path to peace of mind. It means giving yourself permission to just opt out. It's incredibly freeing to look at a complicated global event, an internet outrage, or some messy drama between two co-workers, and just say, "I honestly don't know enough about this to have an opinion." You don't have to spend the next 3 hours fighting to defend your position. You just get to step back, protect your peace, and move on with your day. Number 7. Communicate plainly and honestly. In Montaigne's time, scholars and philosophers gatekept their knowledge by writing in dense, complicated Latin. They stuffed their books with heavy jargon, abstracted theories, and convoluted sentences. The goal wasn't to actually communicate a clear idea to the reader, it was to prove how educated and superior the writer was compared to the common peasant. Montaigne rightly found this ridiculous. He believed that hiding behind big words was usually just a cover for lazy thinking. If you had to use 20 complicated words to explain a basic concept, it meant you didn't truly understand it yourself. So, when he wrote his essays, he ditched academic Latin and wrote in everyday conversational French. He wrote exactly the way he spoke, as a regular guy having an honest conversation with a friend across the table. Similarly, today we use dense corporate jargon to appear more capable at work. In our personal lives, we avoid saying what we really mean. We drop subtle hints, expect others to read between the lines or rely on passive-aggressive behaviour, instead of expressing our needs honestly. Then, when people do misunderstand us, we get upset. To simplify your life, you have to strip the unnecessary complexity out of your words. For example, if you don't understand a project at work, just say, "I don't understand this project." If you made a mistake, don't write a 3-paragraph email deflecting the blame. Just say, "Yep, I messed this up and here's how I'm gonna fix it." In your relationships, drop the passive aggressiveness. If you want something, ask for it directly. If you're upset, state exactly why, calmly and clearly, without making the other person have to guess. When your words finally align with your thoughts, life becomes much simpler. You simply say what you mean, ask for what you want, and move on. Number 8. Accept the natural rhythm of reality. When Montaigne was young, he was terrified of the future. He read a lot of Stoic philosophy, which taught that the best way to handle life was to constantly prepare for the worst. This specific Stoic practice is known as negative visualization. You visualize the worst-case scenarios like losing your money, getting sick, or even dying, with the goal of being emotionally prepared when disaster hits for real. For a long time, Montaigne worried about protecting his estate and stressed over his eventual death. But as he got older, he noticed that trying to perfectly manage the future didn't prevent bad things from actually happening, which just meant that he suffered twice, once in his imagination and then again in reality. He realized that nature has a way of handling things when the time comes, and constantly preparing for disaster just ruins the perfectly good days you have right now. He captured this perfectly when he wrote, "We are never in ourselves, we are always beyond. Fear, desire, and hope push us towards the future." In his late 40s, Montaigne developed kidney stones, an extremely painful condition that was often fatal in the 16th century. Medical treatments at the time were harsh. The doctors of his day tried to cure people by aggressively bleeding them, prescribing toxic potions, and forcing them through incredibly painful experimental procedures to fix the body. Montaigne eventually stopped relying on these treatments. He realized that all this frantic intervention and all the medical cures were actually making him more miserable than the disease itself. Instead of aggressively fighting his illness and panicking over the pain, he decided to take a step back and let nature take its course. He accepted that pain. Aging and sickness aren't mistakes. They're just natural, unavoidable rhythms of being a biological creature. Just a quick side note, while this is a great allegory, if you do have kidney stones, go and see a doctor. It's not the 16th century anymore. Anyway, let's carry on with the video. Today, if we get tired, we don't just rest. We drink more coffee and force ourselves to keep going. We make strict 5-year plans, stress over the news, and lie in bed at 2 a.m. playing out everything that could possibly go wrong. If life doesn't go exactly how we planned it, we feel like we failed. We waste a ton of energy fighting reality simply because we hate admitting that we can't control everything. Simplifying your life means you stop wasting your energy fighting things you can't control. It means accepting that life is messy and unpredictable. It means accepting that sometimes your plans will fail, your energy will fall, and people will disappoint you. Instead of wasting your energy resisting what you can't change, you can learn to adapt to it, to flow with it, deal with the reality right in front of you, and let the future handle itself. And that's our video. So what did you think? Which of Montaigne's 8 principles resonated with you the most? Let me know in the comments. As always, I've been Dan, you've been awesome, and if you enjoyed what you saw or found it helpful at all, why not check out our full Philosophies for Life playlist? And of course, for more videos to help you find success and happiness using beautiful philosophical wisdom, don't forget to subscribe. Thanks so much for watching.